The Jets get some bad news about George Fant. How will the team survive without the veteran tackle? And your mailbag questions today on the Locked On Jets podcast.
You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome. This is the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It's Wednesday, September 28th, 2022, and I'm your host, John B. from gangrenenation.com. Thanking you for making the show your first listen or first watch every day. This podcast is free and it's available on all platforms, including YouTube. If you like what you see or hear, hit the subscribe button where you're watching or listening. You'll never miss an episode. If you happen to be watching on YouTube, please give the episode a big thumbs up. It helps the channel out and it helps other Jets fans find the podcast. It's Wednesday. That means we have our weekly mailbag today. We will be getting to your questions in a little bit. But first, there was some Jets news from Tuesday that deserves discussing. George Fant is heading to injured reserve. The veteran tackle dealing with a knee injury. And it's really a knee injury he's been playing through this season. I get the feeling, and if you've been checking the injury reports every week, Fant's been there. And he's missed typically the first practice of the week. And then he works his way back into the practice lineup. But you could tell, and you could tell partially because of his performance. And I don't want to put his entire performance on the injury. Because, first of all, he's going out there. He's still been good enough to play. And I always feel like if you're good enough that you can set foot on the field, there's only so much you can blame poor play on injury. So, I think also Fant is a guy who's been very up and down through his career. Last year, he was up, so naturally, this year, he's probably going to be down. Now, you can blame it on the fact the Jets flip-flopped him from left tackle to right tackle and back again in training camp. It originally begins as the left tackle, then Mekhi Becton gets hurt, the Jets signed Dwayne Brown, so Fant moves to right tackle. Brown gets hurt, so Fant goes to left tackle again. I don't know that that's entirely fair, because Fant has played both spots in his career. And last year, you know, when he had that good year at left tackle, he moved from right tackle to left tackle in the middle of the first game of the season after a full training camp and preseason preparing to be the right tackle. So, you know, I don't know how much of this you can blame on his circumstances, but he clearly has not been himself this year. He's not been as effective this year as he was last year. Probably some of it due to injury, some of it due to other factors, and some of it just due to a natural regression. And I do wonder a bit whether he would have played through these injuries in a world where other Jets tackles are healthy. Because without Mekhi Becton and without Dwayne Brown in there, you're looking at starting Connor McDermott if Fant can't go. You know, it's a little bit different in a world where everybody's healthy, in a world where Becton's healthy, and Dwayne Brown's your backup, and he's healthy. If Fant, you know, is injured, he could probably miss some time because you know you could plug Dwayne Brown in there. Heck, even if, you know, Dwayne Brown is there, maybe you feel better about Fant missing a couple games to get himself right if you know you have Max Mitchell in there, even though Max Mitchell's been kind of up and down. But the idea of starting Connor McDermott, that's just tough for the Jets. And that's probably a factor in why Fant has tried to play through these injuries. Well, now the Jets are going to have to figure out how to deal without Fant. And we know this Sunday, at least, it's going to be McDermott. Now, the Jets have made a couple of additions on the offensive line. On Monday night, the news broke that they had agreed to terms with veteran tackle Mike Remmers, who hasn't played in a while, and is also, you know, not exactly the youngest guy. On Tuesday, word broke that they've also signed veteran tackle Cedric Obwehi from the Houston practice squad. You know, I don't know what you're going to get from either of these guys. Listen, anybody who's available at this time of year, anybody who's not on a 53-man roster at this time of the year, even if they have a track record, which, you know, neither of these guys has a great track record, but even if you have a track record, you're probably not going to find a solution off the street at this time of year. That's just the way it is. And part of this is just bad luck. And it's not all bad. Like, I hate it when people blame everything that goes wrong for your team on bad luck, but Jets are in a tough spot. And yeah, look, they went into the season gambling a bit at the tackle position. They gambled Mekhi Becton could stay healthy. They gambled Fant would replicate his 2021 season, the gamble they could put Dwayne Brown into the lineup with minimal preseason, minimal training camp. But on some level, this is just bad luck. You lose all three of your top three tackles. That's tough to do, and it's tough to recover from. And it puts the Jets in a really tough spot because this week you got Zach Wilson returning to the lineup. This is your prized young quarterback. And now suddenly he's going to have his number four and number five tackles blocking for him. And beyond that, you're going to have Connor McDermott blocking the blind side at the left tackle position. Not a recipe for success. And, the Jets had McDermott out there last year at points. It just did not go well. I think it's going to limit what the Jets can do offensively. Now, the only, silver lining here, if it's, you can, it's not, I don't know if it's really a silver lining, but the only real silver lining, to the extent it's a silver lining, I can see is that the Jets don't really use their tight ends in a dynamic way in the passing game, despite all the money they've given to CJ Uzama and Tyler Conklin. If you look at what they did last year when Tyler Croft and Ryan Griffin and guys like that were their tight ends, and early this year, the tight ends are not really dependent on to stretch the field. That's more the job of the wide receivers. Why does this matter? Because you don't really have a choice. With this type of tackle play, especially McDermott at left tackle, you're going to have to leave the extra blocker in a lot. And it's going to have to be a tight end because you need a guy at the end of the line who's, first of all, going to be big enough, but he's going to be able, he also has to be able to read his assignments. You leave a back in, it can help, but backs aren't big enough. I mean, a back's assignment can vary based on what the defense does. I think you're going to have to leave tight ends. I mean, I think almost regularly this week, if McDermott's playing the left tackle position, you almost have to do what the Jets did in a game in Pittsburgh. There was a game 12 years ago in Pittsburgh. It was right after Damian Woody got injured. Jets lost their right tackle, Damian Woody. So in his place was Wayne Hunter, who went on to much greater infamy in the Jets franchise in subsequent years. But the Jets had this game in Pittsburgh in 2010. It was a regular season. It wasn't the championship game. The Jets went back to Pittsburgh in the AFC championship game that year and lost. But in 2010, the Jets had this game in Pittsburgh, and they were in bad shape. They had actually just lost two straight games. Felt like the season was kind of falling apart, and they had lost Damian Woody for a stretch. So Wayne Hunter's starting in Pittsburgh at right tackle against a ferocious Steelers defense. And what the Jets did that day is they used a lot of Robert Turner, who was a backup guard and center, essentially as the sixth offensive lineman, and he lined up next to Wayne Hunter. Essentially, they turned the right tackle spot into like a two-man job. Essentially, it was a two-man right tackle platoon where they had Turner lined up next to Hunter, and the two of them just essentially were double-teaming everybody. And that's how the Jets got through that. I don't know that they're going to use a sixth lineman in this game because they're running out of bodies on the offensive line. But it could be the type of situation where, one of these two tight ends, Uzama or Conklin, they're just going to be next to Connor McDermott all day. And they're just going to be providing help, and it'll essentially be like six offensive linemen. And again, silver lining, it might not be, but you're not really taking a dynamic threat out of the passing game with either of these guys. Neither of these guys has really brought a whole lot to the table as a receiver. And please do not throw Tyler Conklin's stats at me. Tyler Conklin has 40 yards this year in situations that did not involve the Jets being down two scores in the second half. Tyler Conklin's amassed a lot of garbage time stats. He's not been productive. So at least you're not really losing productivity if you leave these guys in. Now, of course, on some level, it makes your passing game less dynamic, because even as undynamic as Conklin and Uzama have been, you're taking a guy out of a passing pattern. It's one less guy the defense has to guard. Now, do they have to guard? I know the joke will be they don't have to guard Conklin or Uzama anyway. Well, they have to account for them. So you lose something, but I just don't see what the options are. It's going to be tough. I mean, I think the Jets really need to get Dwayne Brown back, and we don't know when that's going to happen. Robert Saleh expressed optimism to an extent on Monday for this. I think we all have seen how much Robert Saleh's optimism is worth when it comes to injury reports. Robert Saleh expressing optimism almost makes me more worried about Dwayne Brown's ability to recover. And I think at this point, I don't think Dwayne Brown is a guy you can count on. I'll believe Dwayne Brown's back when I see it, but Fant's gone now at least 4 weeks because he's on IR. And that's going to make it really tricky for the Jets because Zach Wilson's back in the lineup. You want this young quarterback to have protection. You don't want to put this young quarterback where he's constantly running for his life. And it's just bad timing, the fact he's back in the lineup now once you lose your starting left tackle. As bad as Fant has been, I felt like there was a downgrade when he left that game on Sunday. So I wish I had better news. I'm not sure what the solution is. I mean, I don't think these veterans the Jets have brought in. I don't think Remmers is going to help. I don't think Obwehi's going to help. Maybe they'll be better than Connor McDermott, but Jets have got some stuff to figure out, and I don't know what the solutions are. But of course, we're going to try and figure out those solutions. As we continue here on the Locked On Jets podcast, we'll move to your mailbag question. Somebody has an idea for what to do at left tackle. I'll tell you what that is and what my thoughts are as we continue on this Wednesday episode of Locked On Jets. Well, here, heading into week four, the Jets are certainly advertising they need to hire a new left tackle with George Fant out. Your company might be hiring as well. Hopefully, you're in a little bit better shape than the Jets are at left tackle. But as you gear up this fall, you need the right people on your team to help your small business fire on all cylinders. That's where LinkedIn Jobs comes in. They're here to make it easier to find the people you want to talk to, faster and for free. You can create a job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Then you add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. That's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNFL. Again, that's linkedin.com/lockedonNFL to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you again for making Locked On Jets your first listener, first watch every day. This show is free and available on all platforms. We now move to our weekly mailbag. Thanks so much to everybody who sent in questions. We begin with a question about the offensive line. John, with the injuries plaguing the offensive line, would it be wise to consider moving Elijah Vera Tucker from guard to a tackle position and putting Max Mitchell in a situation with less pressure? AVT had experience as a tackle in college. Well, I don't think Max Mitchell's moving, so I think he'll be in the same situation. I don't think there's going to be any more pressure on Max Mitchell. Should Elijah Vera Tucker move to tackle? I think it's a tough ask of Elijah Vera Tucker because you've already kind of moved him around during the offseason. You've moved him from left guard to right guard. Now you're going to slide him out to tackle for a couple of weeks. It just seems like a lot to ask. And I worry about what it's going to do to his development. I also worry, is that a situation where maybe you're weakening two positions? Because I would guess Dan Feeney's going to go into right guard. Dan Feeney's probably not as good as what you could get from Elijah Vera Tucker. And Vera Tucker, you know, you kick him out to the tackle position, a spot he has not played in a couple of years, a spot he's never played in the NFL. You know, you may not be getting great play. And I almost wonder whether you're better off just leaving things as are with Elijah Vera Tucker, leaving him at the guard position, just making the middle of the line as good as possible, and then maybe you just use the tight ends to help out on the outside. I mean, I don't think it's an outrageous suggestion, but I'm not sure it's what I would do. I don't think it's what the Jets are going to do, and probably mainly for the reasons I mentioned, is I don't think they want to mess with his development by moving him around because, you know, players can adapt. It's not like it's unprecedented for a guy to change position a couple times early in his career, but I feel like it's something you want to avoid, and especially with Elijah Vera Tucker playing pretty well at the right guard position, it seems like he's found a home. Now, I understand with Zach Wilson back, do you want to throw everything you can at making sure his line is as good as possible? Is Elijah Vera Tucker going to be able to play better than Connor McDermott? He might be, but is your offensive line better? I mean, I don't know that it really moves the needle that much because you're also, you know, even if you're getting better play from Vera Tucker over McDermott, you're still probably getting much worse play on the interior, downgrading from Elijah Vera Tucker to Feeney. I don't think it's an outrageous idea. I just don't think it's in the best interest of Elijah Vera Tucker, and I'm not sure how much better it makes the Jets on the offensive line if it does make them better. Next question. John, when news came out Zach Wilson would miss 3 weeks, I felt the Jets needed to go 1-2 to keep the season alive, and they accomplished this. I know the Jets have a lot of issues, but part of me thinks the team will be okay if Zach Wilson can come back and make progress from last year. Am I wrong to be optimistic? And that question is from Greg. And I would say, no, Greg, you're not wrong to be optimistic. In fact, that's a pretty good read on the situation. There's a lot of negativity around the team right now. That's natural. It's natural after you lose a game. You know, you follow the fan base of any team, you're going to be able to figure out pretty quickly how they did last week because there's lots of doom and gloom whenever your team loses, and there's lots of joy when the team wins. Now, with the Jets, there's a little bit of extra doom and gloom because we've been watching a bad team for so long. And I think that there's a tendency to believe whenever something goes wrong, it's a case of here we go again. It's going to be another bad year. And listen, it might be, but there's no guarantees yet. I agree completely. I felt like to weather the storm, Jets needed to get one win. We had Flacco for three games. 1-2 was going to be the thing that kept the Jets afloat. And I agree. If Zach Wilson comes back and plays well, you know something? The Jets could lose this game against Pittsburgh. If Zach Wilson looks good, everything's going to feel a lot calmer around the franchise. I think the fan base is going to be more relaxed. I think people are going to be more excited, more optimistic. You have to remember, heading into the season, not many people said that it was playoffs or bust. I think people want to see genuine progress. I think for the most, now listen, everybody, you know, there's always those people, those outliers. Some people, you know, the Jets could win two games this year and people will be adamant they're moving in the right direction. And there are other people who, you know, think Jets have to win the Super Bowl, otherwise the season's a disaster. I think most of us fall in the middle ground, though. And if the Jets get to, you know, let's say 7 wins, you know, you could argue 6, but I'll say 7. They get to 7, I think that's a sign that things are moving in the right direction. It's not just about the wins. If they get to 7 wins, that's a sign that the young players have developed. We frequently make the mistake of thinking that young players developing and the team winning are mutually exclusive. They frequently go hand in hand. One is the cause of the other. Young players developing are the causes of wins. So when somebody says, you know, if you have a bunch of young players, well, I'd rather go 2-15, have the young players develop than going, than winning the division and the young players not developing. It's not really an accurate thing to say, because if your young players develop, you're not going to go 2-15. If your young players don't develop, you're not going to win the division. Yeah, of course there are like always those outlier scenarios where you just get some bad luck or you get inordinate amounts of good luck even though young players don't come along. But for the most part, they're going to go hand in hand. So Zach Wilson comes back and plays solidly. People are going to be calmer because the future is going to seem brighter. But the future is also going to seem brighter, and people are also going to be calmer because Zach Wilson playing solid football is going to win the Jets games. We have not seen solid quarterback play for the Jets in quite a while. And that, above all else, is probably the number one reason the Jets have struggled. It's not, you know, it's not that difficult to go from point A to point B. Bad quarterback play leads to losses. We've had a lot of bad quarterback play. We've had a lot of losses. These two are not unrelated. These two are very related. So hopefully Zach comes back and plays well. But, you know, I think a week after a loss like that, there's always going to be people in bad moods. But Jets had to steal one of these three games with Flacco. And I think saying they stole that game in Cleveland would be accurate. I think there was a lot of luck. But sometimes you just need a little bit of luck in this league. You know, every win is part your team executing, part the other team failing, and part just luck. And the Jets have not had enough of that in recent years. They got their one win in Cleveland. The season's still alive. You know, one win on Sunday against a Pittsburgh team that looks like it's got some issues. Jets are right back in this thing. Now, head here on the Locked On Jets podcast. We're going to talk coaching. Lots of Jets fans are very frustrated with Robert Saleh. Should they be, though? I'll tell you what I think as we continue on this Wednesday mailbag episode of Locked On Jets. This is the Locked On Jets podcast. On this Wednesday show, we're doing our weekly mailbag. Our next question. Hi, John. I remember a few years back, you had a quote from somebody, Santonio Holmes maybe, that most coaches in the NFL aren't difference makers. A small percentage make teams worse, a small percentage make teams better, but most could be swapped around and the team's performance would be about the same. At the time, you were putting Gase in the makes teams worse category. Do you think that quote is still a good assessment of NFL head coaches? And what category do you put Saleh in? So the quote was from Keyshawn Johnson. It was from an interview I did with him back in 2010. It was transcribed. It was pre-podcast. Keyshawn Johnson said that. I feel like it's completely accurate. In fact, I think maybe that quote undersells it in the NFL because I think that's true of almost everybody. There are lots of players. There are lots of, you know, general managers who are very replaceable. It's very rare to find a genuine difference maker. And I do think Gase makes things worse. I have no question about that. Where would I put Saleh? I'd put Saleh in the doesn't make a difference category at this point. Whenever the team loses, people act like the coach is the worst coach in the world. I think Saleh deserves criticism for what's going on with this team. I have not been overly impressed by Robert Saleh. But when people go out and say, you know, this team's problems are 70% coaching, that I don't agree with. You know, there was this tweet that went out about how the Jets did not play any cover two against Cincinnati last week when Dallas and Pittsburgh both played a lot of cover two and stopped them. That's not the reason the Jets lost the game. Cover two is a basic coverage. It's not like you wave a magic wand and suddenly the Bengals, you play cover two and suddenly the Bengals can't function on offense. The reason they those te one of the reasons those teams were playing cover two is it's a coverage that's designed to prevent big plays, and the Bengals were playing catch up in those games. Not only that, it's also a coverage that's very effective if you have a four-man pass rush who can get to the quarterback, which both Dallas and Pittsburgh did. In Dallas and Pittsburgh, they both have pretty good pass rushers. And this is an example of how Salah gets blamed. I think Salah takes way too much blame. I think he deserves blame. And again, I'm not saying I've been impressed by Robert Salah, but I don't think he's a guy who's actively making the team worse. Now, here's what I'll say about Salah. He's got a mentor out there, Vic Fangio, who is a free agent currently. Vic Fangio is the type of maybe not a head coach, but the type of defensive coach. He's one of the difference makers. So I'm looking at the situation, and as we move through the season, if this defense doesn't get better and Salah's back for year three, you make the move because that's the type of guy who actually can make your team better. But I haven't seen enough. I mean, I'm liable to change my mind if the Jets have more success or less success, but I think he's just taking too much blame. The Jets aren't executing, and the guys they got in free agency have not been good enough. Now, in fairness, the coaching staff probably had some say over it, but I think Joe Douglas has missed a lot in free agency. And I think guys with ability, I think this is a more talented roster. Is that all on coaching? Well, I think some guys with talent have got to play a little bit better. So there's a lot of blame to go around. I think we always look for the simple solution. I think we always look for one person to blame. There's a lot of people to blame. Does Robert Saleh deserve some of that blame? Absolutely. Am I convinced Robert Saleh is the right coach for the Jets long term? No, I am not. But I don't think Robert Saleh is actively making this team worse. I just don't. Our next question. Through 20 games of the Saleh era, the Jets have been rated as the worst defenses in football. Despite this fact, his best defensive linemen are only on the field for 55% of the snaps. Is he going to stubbornly stick to this rotation? Even Marty Lyons has mentioned this during the radio call. The Jets have been caught in there with their backup defensive line in big spots. Don't you think Quinnen and Williams should be on the field more than 55% of the snaps? I think yes. I also think that this is being overblown. I don't th Again, this is like one of those things I was just talking about. Does Robert Saleh deserve some blame for what's going on? Yes. Robert Saleh has not been perfect, and there are some mistakes. Is this the reason the defense has been bad, though? I don't think so. I mean, what's Quinnen Williams going to play in an ideal world? 60, 70% of the snaps? I mean, we're not talking about getting him on the field that much more frequently. Yeah, they have been caught in some situations where they haven't had their best lineman on the field, but every team's rotating to a certain extent. Jets may be rotating a little bit more than other teams, but the Jets also don't. It's not like they're leaving one of the Bosa brothers off the field. Jets don't really have that kind of. It's not like they're leaving Aaron Donald off the field. They don't really have that kind of impact guy who should be on the field 80, 90% of the time. Quinnen Williams is a good player, a very good player. Do I think he? I think he should be playing more, but I don't think this is a situation where this is the primary reason the defense is struggling. So, perfect example of what I was just talking about, how Salah deserves blame, but he's probably getting a little bit more than he deserves. Our next question is about Elijah Moore. I frequently am noticing that when Elijah Moore is targeted, he does not even make a play on the ball. Other wideouts seem to make catches more frequently in contested situations. Are the passes thrown to him that bad? Is he just not self-aware enough of his own skill set? Or should we see him making more of an effort? I think the Jets in this, I think this is Flacco more than it's Mike LaFleur. Flacco had a tendency to throw contested catch passes to Elijah Moore. Elijah Moore's 5'10", 180. That's not his skill set. Every receiver has different skills that they bring to the table. Making a catch in traffic, making a catch one-on-one, trying to win a jump ball, that's not Elijah Moore's skill set. Elijah Moore is quick separation, quick burst, a little bit of speed, good route running, but he's not the guy you're going to want to throw the ball up to and expect him to come down with it. That's just not his game. And I think it was Flacco who was doing it. Flacco picked some really weird matchups when he was playing quarterback, because Elijah Moore was like the one guy he was willing to throw contested catches to. Everybody else, like if he's not going to throw it unless there's like a 3-yard window, whereas Elijah Moore, he just doesn't care. He'll throw it up and think Elijah Moore's going to win it. Very curious decisions Flacco made. I think the Jets should try and utilize Elijah Moore's skill set a little bit better. I don't think that they've done a great job the first couple games. I think I'd like to see him get more manufactured touches. I think some of those touches that are going to Berrios, maybe you try and get Elijah Moore going, get him the ball in space. Maybe that's the type of thing that gets him rolling. I mean, that's what happened last year. There was a game, he got off a very slow start last year, and then the game against New England after the bye, which was a complete disaster on the defensive side of the ball, the Jets manufactured a couple touches for Elijah Moore in space, and that kind of got him on a good streak. And, you know, if you remember, before he got injured last year, he was going really well and kind of began that game against New England. So I think the Jets really do need to make a concerted effort to put Elijah Moore in more favorable situations, because I don't think they've been doing a very good job of that so far. Anyway, that's all for our episode today. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day is our motto. Big shout out to subscribers to the show. If you want to join that group, just hit the subscribe button where you're watching or listening. You'll never miss an episode. If you're listening on a podcast source, please a 5-star review. If you're watching on YouTube, please big thumbs up to this episode. Both of these help the channel out, and they help other Jets fans find the podcast. Have a great Wednesday, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow for Crossover Thursday.